The message this morning comes from some scriptures that are all about Herod and the wise men, but actually as you read around the subject, you find that there are other characters involved. The Bible, which is the Word of God, is a place that we discover two very different responses to the news that Jesus has been born. Firstly, there are some men from the east who come looking for the one who has been born and who will save his people from their sin, something we've just celebrated with communion together. And secondly, there was a king who is very anxious because this child threatens absolutely everything that he stands for. And so let's look at two verses from the scriptures today. They come from the second chapter of Matthew in the New Testament. And the first one says to us, these men from the east come looking for the one who has been born, who will save his people from sin. And the wise men said, where is this newborn who is king of the Jews? When we were far away in the east, we saw his star and we have followed its glisten and gleam all the way to worship him. I love how the voice translates that. And then the second bit of scripture that we read from the same chapter in the gospel says, the messenger of the Lord to Joseph, get up, take the child and his mother and head to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you it's safe to leave, for Herod understands and threatens him and all he stands for. He is planning to search for the child and kill him, but you will be safe in Egypt. And that's where we gain the understanding, of course, and from other actions that Herod did, that he was incredibly uptight to hear that this one who was going to be considered the king of the Jews, the redeemer, the Messiah to the Jews, had been born. They were stories that he knew growing up, and to hear that it might have happened in his lifetime was incredibly scary to him, just like any dictator, any politician who feels that their cage is being rattled and they might soon be out of power. And just to make sure that you understand simply what I'm wanting to talk to you about this morning, I have a single point to make. And that is that every single one of us must decide how we will respond to Jesus. Every single one of us. And you know, it doesn't matter this morning whether you have been raised in a church or you've started to come here being completely unchurched, whether you went through Sunday school or you didn't, whether you came from a Christian family or you didn't, whether you would actually call yourself a Christian here this morning, and lots of you will, but there will also be some of you here this morning who are just still checking it out, investigating the claims of Christianity. There is still one single question that every single one of us must come to terms with in our lifetime, because we will face this question after we die and we go to eternity. We have to decide how we are going to respond to the arrival on earth in human form of the Son of God. Jesus asked his first disciples, but what about you? Who do you say that I am? And that is the question that I'm putting in front of you this morning. Jesus came to earth from this eternal place that we call heaven. And he came to be the Savior of the world. He did not come as a grown-up king with trumpets blasting and with amazing things happening to herald his arrival. Instead, he came to us quietly as a baby. And God chose two humble and unlikely servants, Mary and Joseph, to be a part of this amazing plan. And this news was just too wonderful to keep silent. God sent an angel with word of the glorious birth to a simple group of shepherds who were in a nearby field. And soon heaven just seemed to rip open, and there was just this burst of heavenly angels who were singing glory to the newborn king, praising the Lord. And the shepherds watched all of this, and they heard all of this, and they believed all of this, and they hurried to find the child. They were just unable to keep it to themselves. They ran to tell everybody that they knew that the long-awaited Messiah has arrived. Incredible information that just had to be shared. Back in the stable, amongst all the animals, was a teenage mum, a young woman now holding a baby that they were about to call Jesus. And what was she thinking? Well, Luke chapter 2, verse 19 tells us, but Mary kept all of these things like a secret treasure in her heart. She thought about them over and over and over. Let's not forget that Mary and Joseph were God-fearing, obedient Jews. And so they went back home. Joseph and Mary went walking almost all, if not all the time. And then they took Jesus to the temple 8 days after his birth in order to be circumcised according to all the Jewish customs and instructions of God. And that time they decided that they would name him Jesus, just as the angel had instructed. Then they went home again. And 40 days after Jesus had been born, they came back to the temple, where they had the little ceremony. And the little ceremony was basically coming into the temple and being asked by some of the rabbis, some of the priests in there, so are you good Jewish people? Do you believe in the Ten Commandments? Do you believe in the law? What will you name this child? And they got into this situation and they said, we name this child Jesus. It's a very interesting aside, by the way, that it's been estimated that between the time that Mary became pregnant and the time that they actually moved to Egypt, this couple had walked well over 400 miles. We get a bit upset when we just have to walk to the shops. So they get to the temple for their second visit, and Mary and Joseph offer a sacrifice to the Lord in keeping with God's law. By the way, you can read all about that law if you want in the Old Testament book of Leviticus. It's a bit heavy going, but it's all in there. And while they were at the temple, they met two very special people. The first person that they met was Simeon. Simeon is someone that the Bible teaches us was a good and a godly man. And the Bible also tells us that the Holy Spirit was with this man. God had told Simeon that he would not die until he had personally seen the Messiah with his own eyes. And Simeon was in the temple that day when Jesus was brought in 40 days after he had been born, so that the parents could give their sacrifice and get their child properly accepted and named. And when Simeon saw Jesus coming into the temple, he went rushing up to the couple and he took this baby in his arms and he immediately started to praise God. There was just a witness in his spirit. This one that he had been waiting for so long was now just here. And he was able to pick this child up and he was able just to feel his heart become one with the Lord in worship and adoration and praise as he said, "Thank you, God, for sending the Messiah." And then he began to prophesy right there in the temple and he announced that this child that he was holding in his arms was going to be a child who was going to bring salvation to all people. He didn't just say to Jewish people, he didn't just say to people who were in Jerusalem, he didn't just say to the people who happened to be in the temple at the time, he said, "This child in my arms is going to bring salvation to all people." And then Simeon predicted things about this child, things that would happen to Jesus during the course of his lifetime. And he knew how to predict these things because he was a man who was filled with the Holy Spirit of God. He said that Jesus would bring some people great joy. And he said that Jesus would cause other people to fall. And he said that even though God had sent him, many, many people would be against him. We read all about that in Luke chapter 2. And then the other person that they met in the temple that day was a woman called Anna. Anna was a devoted widow, an elderly person, a person who had given, devoted, committed her life to prayer and to worship of God. And the story is that she actually never ever left the temple. She lived there. And she worshipped in and around the temple night and day. Sometimes she would fast for days, going without food, as she just spent time before and with the Lord. And this Anna is around when Jesus is brought to the temple on the 40th day. And Anna sees Jesus and she immediately, just like Simeon, has this connection with him. The Holy Spirit is just confirming in her heart, this is the one. And she starts to give thanks to God. And she starts to tell people who were crying for Jerusalem to be free that this baby was part of the plan to do that. Simeon and Anna both knew who Jesus was. They knew that he was the Messiah. They knew that God had sent him to set his people free. And here in the temple, they began to openly proclaim him and openly worship him. Simeon and Anna had spent their lives listening to God. worshiping him, watching to see where God was at work. And there are some tremendous examples, patterns there for us to follow. They abided with the Lord. They had willingly, willfully decided, my life is committed to him and to his ways, and I'm going to seek him, and I'm going to do my best to obey him and to live according to his precepts. And when I encounter things in my life where the world or my own selfish desire is pulling me this way, but God seems to be saying, go this way, I'm going to go away from that, turn my back on it, and go this way. And they're incredible people that we can hold up in our faith and remember this Christmas time. They were people who were certain that God had made promises and that God would keep those promises. And as they knew that and believed that, they waited joyfully. Sometimes we know the scriptures, sometimes we know the promises, but we don't really wait joyfully. We wait impatiently and with grumbles and muttering and, come on, God, hurry up already. But we see in these two old people, we see people who were certain of what God had promised and certain that just as God had said, you will see this Messiah before you die. They just were waiting for it. All believers can learn from their example. We should watch and pray. We should always recognize when God is at work. And I've said it just now, I'll say it again. This is a wonderful lesson that we should learn this Christmas season. And finally, the wise men enter. I just love the eyes of the guy in the middle, don't you? Looks very shifty to me, but he's supposed to be a wise man. Maybe you thought we'd never reach the wise men in the story this morning. Sometime after the birth of Jesus, some men came looking for Jesus. We're not sure exactly how many there were. We're not exactly sure how old Jesus precisely was at this point, but most scholars now believe it was somewhere between 6 months and a year old. Some people even say it was longer than that. And we really don't know that it was three wise men, although we believe that from our Christmas cards. After Jesus' birth, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem. These wise men were also known as the Magi, a term that simply meant that they were advisors to kings. And the Magi were sometimes people who were considered wise enough for kings to call upon them and say, could you interpret these dreams I've been having, please? The Magi were people who tried to gain wisdom and understanding by studying the heavens, studying the stars. And when a special star appeared in the sky that they had never seen before, they absolutely knew that they just had to follow it. We don't know exactly what country they came from, but we know they came from east of Jerusalem and most probably somewhere like modern-day Saudi Arabia. And they had been traveling for a year, for a long time. Some people think it was a year. But we have, again, no way of knowing how long they'd been on the road for, at least on their camels for. However, many of them, and however long they had been traveling for, when they arrived in Jerusalem, they caused quite a stir. I think three people rocking up on camels looking like that would cause a stir when they arrived in Jerusalem. And they began asking, could you show us to the child who's been born the King of the Jews? Well, the Jews were a little bit confused because they already had an earthly king, and his name was Herod. And in fact, this king was not a good guy. He was famous for being a terrible, cruel king and someone who didn't trust anybody. He had murdered his wife. He'd killed her brother and his father-in-law. He killed his friends. He killed many of the military leaders who didn't do what he wanted them to do. He even had three of his own children, sons, put to death because he feared that they might turn against him. King Herod was known as a paranoid and treacherous king who committed atrocity after atrocity against the Jewish people. And when King Herod heard that a bunch of wise men had pitched up from the east and they were investigating a sign that a new king of the Jews had been born, you can imagine how he felt. He wasn't well chuffed. Herod called together all of the religious leaders of the Jews and he said to them, "Come on now, you people, you know your book, you know your scriptures, you know what's going on here. Tell me what all this is about." He didn't want a new king to come along that was like him. He didn't want to give up his position of wealth and power. And so Herod managed to get a few of the religious leaders to tell him what they thought was written in the Word of God. And they mentioned that one of God's prophets had said that the Messiah would be born in the town of Bethlehem. We read that in the Old Testament book of Micah. And so he then called for the wise men to come and have an audience with him secretly. And he said to them, "Listen, I have it on reasonably good authority that this king, child king that you're looking for was probably born in Bethlehem according to our prophecies. So why don't you go and find him for me? And then come back and tell me that you found me so that I may come and worship him." Now we all know, as we know the Christmas story, that that was a deception. That what he really wanted them to do was to go and do his work for him, find this king so that he could send his people in to kill him. Fortunately, the wise men later figured that out. Well, they had a dream, and in that dream, an angel appeared to them and warned them not to go back to Herod, but to go back via another way through Egypt. It's amazing. These wise men, three, five, whoever many, all having the same dream at the same time to confirm what God was saying to them. That must have been quite a breakfast discussion that morning. So what have we seen in all of these characters today as we begin to wrap up? We've seen different people who had long heard the news about a Messiah who had been promised for hundreds of years. How they had heard the news that in their lifetime, in their generation, this promised one appears to have been born. How did each one of them respond? Well, there were the wise men who had left their homes and their families, and they had set out on a long and dangerous journey, hoping that they would be able to discover him and bow down and worship him. There was King Herod, who had become angry at the thought of someone coming along to take away his throne and his power. And everything that he could do with that. Everything about this little boy who had been born struck fear in his heart, and so he deceived the Magi. And then there were the shepherds who saw and heard an angel telling them that the Messiah has been born. And what did they do? They went rushing to find out if it was true. And what about Simeon and Anna, two people who, out of a lifetime of devotion to God, had felt the witness of God in their hearts. The very moment that they laid eyes upon the baby Jesus in the temple. I think that there were lots of other people. I think there were many ordinary people, people like you and me today, who just started to hear whispers of all of these things. People who would hear other people talking about it to other people, and there would be this buzz going around Jerusalem at the time, Bethlehem at the very beginning. This Christmas, What about you? Who do you say Jesus is? Is he just a historical figure like Caesar or Aristotle or Winston Churchill or the Beatles? Is he just a faded name that is somehow associated with a season of peace and goodwill and lots of food and presents? Or is he truly the promised Messiah? Let's pray together. The wise men found Jesus and they worshipped him. Herod wanted to find Jesus so that he could kill him and protect his way of life. And every person in the Christmas story had to decide what to do about the Messiah who had come. Mary and Joseph loved him and risked everything to protect him. The shepherds ran to meet him. Simeon and Anna proclaimed him. The wise men left everything to worship him. The Jews in Jerusalem were troubled by him, and Herod plotted to kill him. Everyone who has ever lived has had to make a decision about Jesus. Will you despise him? Will you ignore him? Or will you believe in him and make him Lord of your life? This Christmas, we can get it very, very right about Jesus. And we can choose to love him, proclaim him, and worship him. Amen.